Recording in progress.
Dumelang bomme le bontate.
Bella chair. Bella.
Madume,
Le
Bella chair.
ca. Bona
Bella
chair.
chair.
Sao bona chair.
Le a pila.
Spilile chair.
Sapila chair.
Ke utlwa monate, ke utlwa monate, ke utlwa monate. I think we should start. It's 9:30. Welcome to the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. Today is Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2023. In terms of our agenda, we are scheduled to get a briefing on the South African Weather Services on the first quarter report for 2023 and 2024 financial year. And the South African National Biodiversity Institute, the first quarter report also. I am briefed that the team that is led by Minister Chrissy and Deputy Minister Soju includes the people from SANBI, some of the officials in the department and some from source. Professor Edward Nesamvuni, Barmini Bavenda.
Rione, Rione, Chair, how are you and members?
No, Mlandu Auna.
Akatia Una.
No, Rota Karanga Manda.
Do.
Mr. Munezi, CEO, are you here? Good morning. Is the CEO of SANBI here?
I was talking to him just now. I don't know.
I'm here, Chair.
Barmi.
Ndovuanga manda.
No, Rotaka.
Da.
Ms. Mbizo, is she here? The head of biodiversity and policy advice in SANBI.
Sorry, Chair, I was struggling to unmute. I'm here. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. The COO of SANBI is here, Mr. Mashile.
Yes, Chair. Good morning and morning to the members. I'm here, Chair. Thank you.
Wonderful. Welcome. Mr. Smith, the acting CFO of SANBI.
Good morning, Chair, members. I am in meeting.
Great. Mr. Kutu, the Director of Strategic Coordination and Oversight.
Mr. Kutu is here. He's operating from my system. He just went to pick up a document, but he's here. He has joined us.
Right. Ms. Henge, the chairperson of the board of South African Weather Services.
Good morning, chairperson. I am present.
Oh, the gadget you're using is called Feziwe.
Yes, chairperson.
Wonderful. Welcome. Mr. Patudi, the deputy chairperson of the board.
Chairperson, good morning. To you, fellow members. I'm here.
Wonderful. Mr. Abada, the CEO of South African Weather Services.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm here.
Great. The CFO of SOURCE, Mr. Mzizi.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm here. Thank you.
Ms. Dekker, Corporate Services SOURCE.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I am in the meeting.
Wonderful. Welcome. Dr. Mpepia.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, Portfolio Committee members. I'm present. Thank you.
Welcome. Mr. Ndabambi.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm here, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Mr. Mokgapi.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I am present in the meeting.
Great. Mr. Kekana.
Good morning, Chair. Present here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Nchanga, the Chief Director of Biodiversity and Conservation from SANBI. Are you here? Ms. Kumza Mchanga, sorry. Okay, she'll probably join. Ms. Gwaze.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. I am here. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Hani.
Morning, Chair. I'm present. Thank you so much.
You're forever here. There was no need to ask. Ms. Maestri.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm in the meeting.
As usual. Ms. Christel van der Kolff, good morning, Acting Director, Public Entity Support Program. Ms. van der Kolff? Is she here?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members.
Oh, yes, she is. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Okay. Gift Nguni, Dumela Ntate.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members and minister and the DM. Thanks, Chair. I'm here.
Hola. Mr. Leontinis.
Ihona Ntate, Chair. Sanbonani Nonke.
As usual. Ms. Ndibongo.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm here.
Great. Ms. Lepohole Karabo Dumela.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm in the meeting. Thank you.
Great. Mr. Nyama.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm in the meeting. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That is the team that is from SANBI, from the department, and South African Weather Services. That is the list that I got. Good morning, Honorable Members. Honorable Paulsen, good morning.
Good morning, Chair. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, my brother?
I'm very well, yeah, in the occupied Western Cape. The resistance is strong.
Good morning, Honorable Mbata.
Sanbonan Chair in the House, Nijani.
Siyaphila, uyaphila.
Ngisaphila ukukhathala nje.
Hayi, impilo injalo, siyaphambili. Good morning, Honorable Weber.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys have a great day. I'm in Mpumalanga and it is 18 degrees. It's winter here.
Oh, askies. Now you'll be fine. Good morning, Honorable Ganjo. Honorable Ganjo, good morning. Honorable Mkunu, good morning. Honorable Mkunu. Honorable Dlamini, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody.
Kuhamba kahle.
Hey, I hope today the weather service will tell us on the 18 and 19, no rain. We are registering.
Oh. Right. Right. I see Honorable Nyonzo. Am I right? Babu Nyonzo Molo.
Namaste, Chair. Namaste, Chair. Namaste, Chair.
Akondo.
Hayi, hayi ngaphambisa nawe nje.
Hayi no. Hayi tu akondo kum ngabe kudala nibone nge-tent.
I had to run away from the resistance in Western Cape. I'm home.
Honorable Bryant, good morning to you.
He sent an apology, Chair. He won't be joining us today.
All right. Honorable Winkler.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Hope you're all well.
We're all good. Are you good?
I'm well, thank you. It's freezing here in KZN as well.
Hey.
Winter has come. So, Honorable Weber, we join you.
Yeah, it would seem that it's strategically more the U-turn. Chilega molo guwe.
Molo na guwe slalo.
Akonto guwe.
Pilelengo sikunjani.
No, go right, go right. Zikoni apologies registeriwe.
Yes, Chair Zikona.
Hmm.
Honorable Bryant, Honorable Singh and UTG Shabalala Chair.
Okay. Okay, come to dig and bizarre perhaps in a mistake. Tanta, good morning to you. Mr. Giniza. He's so used to staying muted. I suspect he could be in a meeting, but because naturally, he mutes and probably does not even listen to the proceedings of the meeting. Darren Arensek, good morning to you.
Morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody.
Good.
Chairperson.
Honorable Paulsen.
Those people that are logged in that don't respond when you greet, they are all here, but they're not all there.
Yeah. It's not make sure. Okay, let's proceed. Welcome, honorable members. Good morning, Minister Chrissy.
Good morning, Chairperson. I thought you have forgotten myself and Deputy Minister.
Never.
When you were doing call, you didn't call us. Greetings to yourself, to Deputy Minister, to all the honorable members, to the chairs of our entities, CEOs, and all officials in the meeting. Thank you.
Great. Welcome, Minister. There was no way I could forget you. It could have been, there's no oversight like that. Meso chu ke odumedisa khotso.
Madume, mudula stulo.
Kinkebon yet like you said, Minister Chrissy, Grimerisele Maluku, our Parliamente, Libo, Shebamo platform, Kelebom Dulas to
Liamukhe Zukofela, and greetings to all the participants that I might not have called by name, the people of South Africa. Welcome to the meeting of the Portfolio Committee of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. Today's agenda is being flighted, the briefing from the Weather Services and SANBI. Can we get a mover? Or perhaps let me check first if there are apologies that honorable members would like to register. Are there apologies, honorable members?
None.
Can we then get a mover of the adoption of the agenda?
I move for the adoption of the agenda, Honorable Mbata.
Siyabonga, Honorable Mbata. Can we get a seconder?
I'll second Chair, Honorable Winkler.
Honorable Winkler, thank you very much. That is how the proceedings of today's meeting will unfold. Minister, let me immediately welcome you and head over to you to introduce the chairperson of the South African Weather Services. It is my belief that they will also inform us about these 18 degrees we're being told about. Welcome, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, one has repeatedly warned the Weather Service that they're delivering very unpredictable weather, but they don't seem to be responding appropriately. It just gets worse. So maybe the honorable members will assist in improving the weather today. You know, they always tell me when I complain about the weather, their job is just to predict it, not to control it.
Correct.
Chair, I think let me just make a couple of remarks. The first one is that I think when we look at the SANBI report, we will see that overall there's good performance in the first quarter. There's just, I think, one small issue that requires attention. With regard to the Weather Service, I think that honorable members are aware of the problem we have struggled with since last year in terms of effectively dealing with the consequences of load shedding. And so what you will see is that there is continued underperformance in the first quarter with regard to our system. But I think what gives me hope is that in the second quarter, we have had an improvement in the functioning of the system. So what I have asked the Weather Service to do, because I'm aware that honorable members know about this problem, and that really what you want to know is what is the progress in terms of fixing the problem. So I have asked the Weather Service to front load the presentation with that information, because I think that we don't need lengthy inputs. We require progress so that we have some hope that the problems that the Weather Service is facing are being appropriately attended to. And I think that that is where we are. I don't know whether the Chair has any opening remarks, but my view is that what honourable members are eager to hear is progress on underperformance. Thank you very much. Let me hand over to the chairperson and to the CEO.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, the Director General in absentia, and the colleagues. As the financial year commenced in April, showers and thunderstorms occurred over the central and eastern parts of South Africa. In May, heavy rainfall leading to flooding, very cold conditions and rough seas were some of the phenomena experienced in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Municipality and along the wild coast of the Eastern Cape. The South African Weather Services played its pivotal role of issuing warnings to the public about life-saving weather information, and warnings were issued in response to the heavy rainfall that resulted in flooding over parts of the city of Cape Town, Paarl, Stellenbosch, Ceres, Citrusdal, Worcester, Franschhoek, and other towns in June 2023. Chairperson, on behalf of the board, I am pleased to present South African Weather Services performance report for the first quarter 2023/2024 financial year. On this briefing to the portfolio committee, I am accompanied by the Deputy Chairperson of the Board, Mr. Idani Paduli, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Isham Abada, the Executive Corporate Services, Ms. Petra Decker, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Norman Mzizi, the Executive Weather and Climate Services, Dr. Jonas Mpepe, as well as Mr. Miguel Ndabambi, the Executive Infrastructure and Information System. And lastly, Mr. Tituso Mohapi from Strategic Planning and Reporting. As much as Weather Services was able to provide severe weather-related warnings in the period under review, the observations infrastructure performance remains an area of vulnerability. Management is confident that the implementation of South African Weather Services Infrastructure Sustainability Plan will translate into improvement of the infrastructure performance and the meeting of its target in this regard. The board continues to work together with management to make the available resources to change the tide in the infrastructure performance. To this end, the board has established an infrastructure sustainability plan ad hoc committee as one of the intervention measures to assist management in ensuring that the desired turnaround plan in respect of the radar performance is achieved. Intermittent power failures due to load shedding and power surges affected performance of the air quality stations and other equipment. The South African Weather Services and the department are engaging and executing interventions to ensure stable power supply to stations. Instrument recapitalization of the 15 air quality monitoring stations continued in the period under review to improve data recovery. As a member of the World Meteorological Organization, the South African Weather Services remains committed to the reforms of the WMO. Fittingly, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Isham Abada, was on the 1st of June 2023 elected to the WMO Executive Council during the 19th World Meteorological Congress held in Geneva, Switzerland, as well as into two subcommittees of this August body. This is a great achievement, not only for South African Weather Services, but also for the country to position itself and advance in its position on matters of weather, climate, and hydrological services internationally. Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, please allow me to request the Chief Executive Officer and the Chief Financial Officer to present the 2023/2024 quarter one performance of South African Weather Services 2022/2023 annual report. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, Board Chair, colleagues. As indicated, we'll start with the presentation on progress before we get into the actual presentation. Can we go to slide number 2, De Tuso? As indicated by the minister, we thought we'd give an update of where we are in terms of the progress that's been made since the last meeting. As you'll know, honorable members, we've had challenges and primarily load shedding, issues around connectivity in terms of when Vodacom and MTN go down and data transmission during load shedding. We've also had issues around theft and vandalism. Secondly, we had for the 2021, 22, and 22-23 years, no capital expenditure since COVID-19. We had to convert almost 250 million rand of government capex to opex in those 2 years. Due to low revenue and also more seriously liquidity challenges. We did, however, get an additional government OPEX grant of 124 million during the 23-24 year, and they'll give us one during 24-25, which will assist us to invest in our infrastructure. We raised the issue of this need for funding with the DFFE, and they provided us with an additional 100 million rand over the 3 years for infrastructure recapitalization as well. And then we've had some procurement issues in terms of the 2020. We finalized the budget and it was approved in April 2023, our detailed budget. And the various projects were allocated in May 2023 so that the procurement processes could commence. The specifications for our projects were prepared and finalized in quarter one. We had evaluation and adjudication of most of these priority projects in quarter two, and we're hoping to see results from that from quarter three onwards. We've had some delays in terms of non-responsiveness in relation to bids, particularly around services related to our radars and peripheral equipment, and those had to be re-advertised, I think, in some instances on more than one occasion, and that contributed to the delays as well. Then the supply chain management unit also lost some of their key staff. And this recruitment of that staff is going to happen in the third quarter. Next slide, please. Just in terms of progress to date, we, as the board chair mentioned, the board's established a special subcommittee to monitor progress monthly in terms of our infrastructure and in particular our radar infrastructure. It was also mentioned that there has been an improvement from the first quarter percentage, which is very low in terms of the radar infrastructure, which was at 28%, but it's moved up to 46% in the second quarter. And we're hoping that with some of the interventions, it'll move up even further in the third quarter. Just some of the things that we've done so far during the last reporting period, we had a radar fire suppression system installed in Irene and then Durban. And that was completed during October. Emergency battery backup was procured for two of our radars at Ottersdal and Ermelo. That installation was also completed early November. And as soon as we had done that, we noticed there was improved availability in terms of these radars. We've also installed automatic voltage regulators for seven. Or we're in the process of installing for seven radars, and that helps to stabilize the power to ensure that our radars are operational. We've completed four installations already, and three are in progress as we speak. In terms of our AVR procurement and installation for the air quality stations, We re-advertising for the procurement of backup battery systems for the 14 air quality stations. We had a non-responsiveness to the initial advert or bid. So we've had to re-advertise that. In terms of our automatic weather stations, we installed 35 LTE modems during quarter two, and also with battery backup solutions that were procured and installed with the solar systems. Then in terms of our automatic rainfall stations, we upgraded four of those with 4G LTE modems to provide better communication and data transmission. And then also in terms of our global atmospheric watch infrastructure, we installed a UPS there and we got our ultraviolet biometer working there. And you'll see also that in the next quarter, there's been a significant improvement on the GOR infrastructure in terms of us meeting the target and in fact exceeding it in the second quarter. Thank you very much. And then Letusha, you can go on to slide three of the main presentation. Thank you. So this is a summary of the first quarter performance. You will see there that we have 24 targets. 16 of them were on target for the quarter and 8 were off target. The bulk of the targets that were not achieved sit in program 3, which is our infrastructure and information systems. You will see that 7 of our targets there have not been met. And overall, it translates to roughly 67% and 1/3 that's off target. I'm going to then just go quickly into the details of that. If you can go to slide 13, please. So the first one was the percentage availability of our automatic weather stations infrastructure. We have a target there of 85%. In the quarter, we've achieved 80%. The challenges are power outages, cable theft, as well as some of our network communication systems failing. And we have procured those LTE modems, and we are looking at enhancing the communication as well in relation to our automatic weather stations. In terms of our rainfall stations, the target there is 80%. We've achieved 73%. We've had network communication systems failure and also software incompatibility. And we're hoping that with the introduction of these LTE modems, we'll be able to rectify that. Next slide, please. So in terms of slide 14, I mentioned the global atmospheric watch. We had not achieved the 80% target there. We only achieved 68%. As I indicated, however, the biometer network is now fixed. And we've also improved and exceeded the target as far as that one's concerned. From our radar percentage availability, the target is 75%. It's been mentioned in my previous slide that we were operating at roughly 28%. We've had lots of challenges there in terms of the load shedding and power outages. And in terms of some of our older C-band radars and getting parts for those as they are obsolete. But we've seen an improvement, as indicated in the opening slides, in the second quarter. Next slide. So in terms of our percentage availability of our lightning detection network, we missed that by 8%. We're supposed to be at 90%. We were operating at 82%. And we had some load shedding and system-related failures that affected the network. And we are implementing our infrastructure sustainability plan initiative in terms of that. Next slide. The other area where we were doing too well was the priority air quality stations availability on Cyprus that met the minimum data requirements. You will see there that our target is once again 80%. We only managed to achieve 47% there, and it's similar challenges. We're looking at these 8 kVA lithium ion battery solutions for the stations that hopefully can be charged via solar and electricity. And we're looking at instrument recapitalization on these machines as well. And then next slide. In terms of our automatic weather stations and automatic rainfall stations, climate data availability on the National Climate Database, meeting the minimum data requirements, there we missed it by 2%. From the 85%, we were operating at 83%. We had some data communication problems between our regional offices and the climate services database, with the result that some data didn't reflect in the main database. Next slide, please. I think the next slide, slide 21, thank you. In terms of our unregulated commercial revenue, we were supposed to meet a target of 7.6 million. We managed to achieve 5.1 million only during the quarter under review. And that was as a result of some of our commercial partners' revenue being below budget because they rely on the radars for the forecast products. And as a result, we didn't achieve that target either. Dituso, can you go over to slide 28? I'm going to hand over to the CFO to just take us through the finances. CFO?
Good morning, Chair. Honorable members, the Minister, the Deputy Minister. I will start with slide 29, just to give the details of the revenue. And Chair, as you have seen from the presentation of the CEO, when we were looking at the challenges, for the past 2 years, we could not invest adequately in our infrastructure because of the fact that we had low revenue and we had to convert part of our government CAPEX grant to OPEX so that we can operate. And thank God that for this financial year, at least we have started now to procure this infrastructure that is so necessary for the business. And for this year and the following year, we have started to implement the infrastructure sustainability plan. And we expect that the impact of load shedding will be minimized with that. And Chair, I can also add that in June, we procured about 600 modems. And in July, we bought about 769 batteries that will be used to improve the AWSs. Now, Chair, on slide 9, it gives the details of our revenue. We can see that in terms of the government grant, we have received these amounts. And the presentation, it indicates the budget for the full year. That's the first column. And then we've got the year-to-date budget as well as the year-to-date actual. And it provides the variance. And then we also provide the forecast for the year as well as the full year actuals of last year so that we can compare the figures. Now, from the revenue, we can see that in terms of the donor funds, we are slightly below our budget, year-to-date budget of 5.3 million. We have got the actual of 2 million. We've got a negative variance of 3 million. And Chair, I can also indicate that in terms of the statutory revenue, which comes from the aviation, we are doing relatively well. As you can see, the year-to-date amount is 31 million versus the budget of 27 million. We've got a positive variance of 4.8 million. And the area where we are looking at to make sure that we improve is the non-statutory commercial revenue. Year-to-date, actually, it's 5 million versus the year-to-date budget of 7.6 million. We've got a negative variance of 2.4. And in total, the variance is 1.2 million. As you can see, the year-to-date actual revenue is 132 million. And the slide before this, slide 28, it gives now the financial position. And in terms of the expenditure, we are slightly below the budget year to date of 111. The actual it's 109 million due to the cost containment measurements that were employed. And on the compensation for employees year to date, actual, we're sitting at 70 million versus a year to date budget of 71 million. And in terms of the results for the first quarter, we are sitting with a positive surplus of 9.2 million after we take into account our capital expenditure of 5.9 million. And this is in line with the results of last year. And we hope that as the year progresses, then this is the situation that will be maintained going forward. And the next slide, which is slide 31, is just give the details of what I've already covered. And with that, Chair, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Sanbi, Sozarada. Honorable members, do we take Sanbi's presentation as well, or do we engage the presentation of Sanbi? Honorable Winkler, what is your view?
Thank you, Chair. I would suggest that we do Soz first with the questions and answers, and then move on to Sanbi if the committee is in consensus with that. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Weber, what do you think?
I support Honorable Winkler. Let's finish Soz first. Thank you.
Okay. I then invite you, honorable members, to engage the presentation of South African Weather Services. Honorable Winkler, you'll be the first. Honorable Weber, you'll be the second. In that order.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenter from the board. So at our last meeting where we discussed the quarterly performance, it was mentioned once again that in the Vaal Triangle, the Waterberg area and Bojanala high priority area, that the air quality monitoring stations were a concern, because at that point they were only, I think, reporting at 37% of capacity, no, 39%. And now we see that there has been an improvement to 47%. I just want to make sure that there has indeed been that incremental increase between 39 and 47%. So, and just to confirm, there are 15 stations under the purview of SOARS in those high priority areas, if I'm correct. And we're saying that 47% of them are only reporting. So that's less than half are reporting on air quality data in accordance with minimum standards. If that could just please be confirmed. At the last meeting where SOARS reported, they had said that there was a plan underway in terms of ensuring that we get better functionality from these stations. And I'd just like to inquire as to where we are in terms of that progress and what the plan is to get at least 80% of these air quality monitoring stations online with regards to meeting those minimum requirements for air quality standards. Because I know that we are procuring backup power supply, et cetera, but is there a timeline? And when do we expect to meet that 80% threshold? And then also the other question is, how are we actually enforcing air quality management if we aren't getting adequate data in these high priority areas? Because that's the whole point of having these stations, is so that we can then send out these warnings or alerts, or that those communities are able to look on SACIs and they're able to say, oh, well, the air quality is really bad in my area today, we must take precautionary measures. But if we're not getting this data, what is happening to all these communities in these high priority areas that are being exposed to dangerously high levels of air pollution? And I think that this needs to actually be a matter of urgency. I don't think that every time we come to a sitting where SAWS and the department presents, it's always, oh, we are in the process of procurement, we're in the process of getting backup power supply. We need some dates, we need some timelines. This is about national health. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Winkler. Honorable Weber.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Forgive me not switching on my camera as we have load shedding currently. Chair, I have only one question, and that is on slide 14, where it is said that the percentage availability of global atmospheric watch infrastructure. So in the red, they say the challenges was the UV biometer network experienced larger damages and failures which resulted in the loss of the data. And then your corrective measures was procurement of lodges commenced in June to replace old lodges in the UV biometer network. My question to you is, has that been done? Has all the lodges been replaced with the UV biometer in the UV biometers network? And if not, why not? And when will it be done? Because it's already been bought in June. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there further takers? Clarities, concerns on the first quarter report of South African Weather Services? Okay, in the absence of hands, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Winkler is correct. There has been a slight improvement in terms of the 15 stations. And I'm going to ask Mr. Ndabambi to just give us an indication of what additional measures they're going to take in terms of ensuring that better functionality and also the timelines related to that, based on the questions asked by Honorable Winkler. Honorable Weber, in terms of your question, yes, the biometers are completely operational, and I'm glad to report that from 68%, we've actually exceeded the 80% target now. So the biometers are completely functional, and the GOR infrastructure is up and running. We also did a UPS replacement there, which has helped us to achieve and exceed the target as far as the global atmospheric watch infrastructure is concerned. Thank you, Chair. I'll give us a bit more detail on the priority area stations and what's being done in terms of that. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Ndabambi.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Honorable Member. Good morning once more, Honorable Members. Honorable Winkler, your question, you would like to get to the timelines. You have alluded to these backup batteries that under procurement for the 14 priority stations.
And Honourable Member, you were right. South African Weather Service is looking after 15 priority stations. The main challenge now, Honourable Members, is the fact that now, after going through the procurement process, it went through up to the bid adjudication committee. So now again, we need to re-advertise. I can feel the pain on Honourable Member. So that means now the timeline actually guided by the procurement processes as per the Treasury prescript. So because it's a tender process, maybe CFO can also assist me here, whether it's one of those that we will shorten the process or not. But we have a weekly discussion with the CFO and the supply chain. As we see the delays due to this non-responsiveness of the bidders, the first thing we discuss as to what is the shortest period we can follow. So that's the only thing that we have we can opt to, Honourable Member. I think this one was in the bid adjudication last week, Friday, CFO. CFO, please, if you can assist me to confirm if it's one of those that will shorten the period, because the Honourable Member is wanting timelines. I'm not sure if we're in that position, CFO.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ndabami. Yes. This is the tender which was non-responsive, and what we have done, Chair, is we have also invited our colleagues from the department who are specializing in this area to assist in crafting the specifications, so that when it's reissued, at least we can have a better response from the bidders. And we are looking at an emergency procurement process, and we envisage that by December, we'll have finalized the procurement process of this one, because the previous one was non-responsive. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. Back to you, Honourable Member. Honourable Chairperson.
Hisham, I see your hand is up.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to also give a little bit more clarity in terms of Honourable Winkler's 47%. It's not that 47% of the machines are not working. It's 40% of the time that they actually supply information. So the data is coming through. And that improvement is in terms of the time that the stations are up, just to confirm that. And it's not the number of stations. I thought I just need to clarify that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Winkler. Is that the legacy end or a follow-up?
No, Chair, that's a follow-up, please. Okay, so... To my understanding, you're saying we're hopefully going to finalize the procurement process by December. Now, once we've got the backup power supply to these 14 air quality monitoring stations, they should then be fully functional and operational, or are there other issues with regard to maintenance and other infrastructure that is going to prohibit adequate reporting of data? Or is this backup power supply then going to resolve the issue so that we meet this target in terms of 80%? And I think the gentleman had mentioned that 40% or the 47% is not the number of stations, but rather the please excuse my cat, but rather the 40% is the downtime or uptime. If you could just clarify then how many stations are actually reporting data according to standards, and how, and if that is similar to this percentage of 40. I'm just getting a bit confused there. If they could just make that distinction between the two. Thank you.
Honorable Dallas.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to assist. I think the important point that Honorable Winkler is raising is the purpose of having these stations is that where there are exceedances, the department and the municipality that is that has responsibility for ensuring that institutions comply with their air quality licenses has information on which to base enforcement action. Now, there is a difference between saying 47% of the stations are working and saying that the stations are working 47% of the time. Now, what we understand is that the reason for underperformance of SAWS infrastructure is because of the externality of load shedding. And what happened is that in the middle of a financial year when load shedding hit, we had to take abatement measures that were not budgeted for and were not included in the plans of the organization. And part of that required, firstly, obtaining alternative power sources, but secondly, obtaining instruments that would protect the very sensitive infrastructure from the impact of institutions being switched on and off, installations being switched on and off. Now, we have explained to you the difficulty we have had in procuring those installations and also the timelines with regard to conclusion of that procurement process. It's difficult for us, but these are Treasury regulations. If we don't follow them, then we will have irregular expenditure and we will be sitting here in committee explaining to honorable members why we have irregular expenditure. That is why we have to follow these processes of National Treasury that we all agree are somewhat cumbersome and somewhat frustrating. Why does it matter that we have data available 47% of the time? Because when you find exceedances in that time, you can take enforcement action or you can give that information to the cities who are responsible for the air quality licenses. So it's not that there is no data none of the time, and it's not that only 47% of the stations are working. I hope that helps Honorable Wing to understand that we want the stations to work 100% of the time, but even working 47% of the time, one has sufficient information to know whether or not installations are complying with their air quality licenses. Thank you.
CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I think ministers eloquently explained it. I have nothing to add to that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Are there follow-ups, honorable members? Follow-up questions, perhaps, that would like to pose, honorable Winkler?
Thank you to the minister for that response. It now makes a bit more sense. So the question that remains, though, is that if we get the backup supply, and hopefully that procurement process will be finalized by December, will that ensure that we are reporting data at least 80% of the time and not 47? Or are there other challenges with these air quality monitoring stations beyond their power limitations? That is the question I have. So is it about updating the equipment? Is there a maintenance, a frequent maintenance that is required? I'm just trying to understand what it requires to get these air quality monitoring stations fully functional and reporting in compliance with the regulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ndabambi.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Winkler. As the Honorable Minister alluded to, I'll start with that particular one, that this alternative power, it also assists to protect the instrument, because during this on and off, then the instruments, they get damaged. So we've already procured the alternative voltage regulator for the cleaning. So then this backup now is going to make sure that when you lose the power, the instruments also are protected, and then the data gets available. And Honorable Winkler, I can with confidence indicate with you that once we have this, we'll have more data being available, because the station will be up more continuously. We have observed when we had a relaxation of load shedding, and then the data availability for that period was up. So once we got these backup batteries, yes, definitely we'll have more data availability because now there will be a continuation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Ndabambi. Satisfied, Honorable Winkler?
Yes, for now, thank you.
All right. Okay, are there any other takers on the presentation of the weather services? None. Okay, thank you very much, South African Weather Services, for your first quarterly report for 2023-2024 financial year. We are expecting improvements in the next reporting cycle. Can we then move to the Biodiversity Institute? Do you want to introduce the board chairperson, Honorable Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that Professor Nesamfuni is well known to the committee, and I invite him to make his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. My apology, Chairperson, my system is not permitting my camera to be on. If you concur, please, if I can just continue. Greetings again to the Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister Chrissy, the Deputy Minister Sotu, the Board Chairperson of the South African Weather Services and other board members that may be present, the Director General of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment in absentia, the SANBI CEO, Management Executives, and the CEO of the South African Weather Services. I'm pleased, Chairperson, to be leading the SANBI delegation today to this portfolio briefing on the performance of the Institute in the first quarter of 2023-2024 financial year. In the first quarter, SANBI achieved 98%, 41 out of 42 targets performed against its APP commitments, which was an impressive performance. The board of SANBI, which I represent here today, continues to provide in line with the relevant legal prescripts governing the role and conducts of the board. I'm happy to report that the management collective efforts in the implementation of the identified targeted measures and lessons learned from the 2022-2023 have seen SANBI recording this exceptional performance in the first quarter of the current financial year. SANBI continues to work hard in its innovation and collaborative way to deliver on the mandate. Chairperson and honorable members, there are many achievements. However, there are also a few areas that presented challenges, and this will be presented in detail by the CEO and the management team. I would like just to highlight the following issues for noting by the committee. And the first one is the external audit improvement, which is a plan of 2022-2023, the prior year. As reported during our last briefing to the portfolio committee, following the conclusion of the external audit process, management developed an external audit improvement plan, which was approved by the board. This plan sought to improve the external audit outcomes by addressing all the findings emanating from the 2022-2023 external audit process. The plan is being monitored by the board and its representative committees on a quarterly basis to ensure that all findings are fully resolved by the end of March 2024. I'm pleased to inform the committee that we are at 63%, which is 20 out of 32 of the findings that are now fully resolved to date. The second one is the financial position. I'm happy to report that SANBI is in good financial position. The institute is solvent with total assets exceeding total liabilities and liquid with current assets exceeding current liabilities. The third one is the financial sustainability. We as the board has approved the SANBI's financial sustainability strategy 2023-2024 to 2031-32. The strategy is aimed at maximizing SANBI's income, generating potential through exploring identified opportunities and pursuing strategic partners and other innovations. The implementation of different interventions commenced during the first quarter to achieve the outcomes of the strategy. Early signs of progress can be seen in the progressive growth in our own income generation from diverse sources, even when operating within a constraint of global economic climate. The board also approved the repositioning strategy of the National Zoological Garden together with the implementation plan, which is aimed at enhancing the role of the NZG in conservation, environmental education, research, and tourism. The focus during the reporting period was the implementation of the targeted infrastructure improvement program, given the ailing infrastructure inherited. The next issue is the human development and transformation. Biodiversity human capital development strategy continues to play an important role, with us also leading within the biodiversity human capital development strategy for the sector. Khun Sebenza 2 program, SANBI continues to implement the Khun Sebenza graduate skills development program as assigned by that are availability of adequate charter. We are also fulfilling the primary decision support mandate by providing scientific and policy advice on a number of critical areas, which among others includes trades in species, state of biodiversity in the country, alien impact of alien invasives, as well as the protection of species and ecosystems. SANBI continues to participate in the process led by the department in the review of policies, legislation, and practices in the biodiversity and conservation aimed at fostering sustainable development while taking into consideration social and economic imperatives. Key environmental sector work for which SANBI continues to play a critical role includes a contribution to the sector's MTSF commitment to securing the strategic water sources areas. This critical work ensures South Africa's sustainable water security through the protection of the strategic water sources area, which constitutes 10% of the surface of our country and yet providing 50% of the water requirement. We continue to take this as very important as SANBI, and we are monitoring it very closely. We note with appreciation that after a long and hard negotiations, the world adopted this coming Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework with targets of for implementation. SANBI continues to participate in the process of domesticating the Global Biodiversity Framework through its critical role in providing biodiversity science necessary for evidence-based policy and decision-making. SANBI also, Chairperson, supported the department in the development of the white paper on conservation and sustainable use of biodiversity by providing technical and scientific input. Honorable Chairperson, if you may allow, I will now request the CEO and the team to take the portfolio committee through the details of the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues, the chairs of other boards and their CEOs or the CEO's source. I will be going through as quickly as I can the account in terms of the performance in the first quarter of SANBI. Slide number 7 indicates, in summary, that we continue to provide our mandate in line with the legal prescripts, in this case, the founding legislation, which is the NEMBA, which informed the establishments and also spelled out the functions of SANBI, and we discharge those in line with that. If we go to slide number 9, in terms of quarter one performance, we achieved 98%, as the chair indicated. It's 41 of the 42 targets that we needed to look at for within that quarter, the reporting period in question. The summary of that is indicated in that pie chart, which then represents 98% of performance in quarter one. I will quickly rush to slide number 10, in line with the guidance here, which indicates the area of non-achievement or underperformance, as Minister indicated earlier on. We had targeted that we would have secured 20 million rands raised as part of our annual target of 100 million rands that need to be secured through contracts that we sign with external parties for the money that needs to flow outside or coming from sources outside the normal grant that we receive through the DFFE. We were off target, way off, at 2.2 million at the time. Continue to work hard. The indication on the slide also indicates some of the areas that we have been pursuing. We continued to pursue them even in the second quarter. I'm pleased to inform the portfolio that in the beginning of the third quarter, we managed to sign off the contracts related to 83 million rands assigned to support the work on biobank, which is one of the critical areas of what we need to be responsible for as the institute in line with our mandate. So we back as much as the process has not followed the quarters as we envisaged in the beginning of the financial year. And we are still hopeful that by the end of the year, the annual target will be secured. And if not, we'll be very close to that. But we are working with that in mind, that we need to surpass 100 million rands from external sources or source mobilization processes. That is the only area that we didn't do well. And I would request our acting CFO, Mr. Alan Smith, to take us through the financials or financial performance starting from slide 35 up to slide 37 in the way that you deem fit, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Minister and the Deputy Minister and Chairs.
Good day, Alan? Chair. Yes, CEO. Come on. Good morning again, Chair, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and the members of the committee and other colleagues. In terms of financial performance, we did very well during that year in terms of externally funding projects that we collected way more than we had budgeted for that first quarter. In terms of own income, we had slightly behind budget, again, just through that being quarter one and our bad kind of season for the year. And in investment income as well, we had a little bit more available for investment. So we had total revenue of 175.6 million versus a budget of 154 million rand. In terms of financial position, the next slide, please. For the financial performance continued. Employee costs, very small variance in operating expenditure, slow spending in the first quarter, but we're putting in measures to improve the spending. And by quarter two, we were doing pretty well. Our total spending for that year, for the quarter, then 252 million. We had a budget of 276 million. We ended up with a deficit for that quarter of 76.5 million. Versus a budgeted deficit of 122 for the first quarter. And in terms of financial position, we're in a really good position. At the moment, we're solvent, we're liquid and our current assets, and current assets totaling 950 million rand. Current assets way above our current liabilities, as you may see. So we had total accumulated surplus still at the end of the first quarter, 652 million. With our current liabilities being 233 million and our non-current liabilities being 64 million rand. Our position as at the first quarter. Thank you, CEO. Handing back to you.
Honorable Chair, that's our account. Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Sanbi. Honorable members, I invite you to engage a short presentation from the South African Biodiversity Institute. By show of hands, if there are any questions for clarity or comments. Or maybe compliment. No sign of hands. Honorable Weber.
Thank you for this presentation, but my question is actually, if you will allow me and if everyone will forgive me for this, with the invasive plants and everything that Sanbi is working with, et cetera, I want to know, just for curiosity's sake, the department has always appointed or were in agreement working with the CBC, the Center of Biodiversity at Rhodes, for the biological agents. It's the small biological organisms that eats the invasive plants, Tatabias puerdam and Brodeplaudam. I want to know why we can't use them more in the sense of there's so many invasive plants here, and I'm aware of the fact that they probably won't have organisms for every single invasive plants, but they might have for a majority, let's say 65%. What is the possibility of setting these organisms or biological agents free in order to fight and assist Sanbi with that, although Sanbi doesn't report in the department, but they're in the same line of work, and invasive plants is a problem. It's just a question for my own knowledge. Thank you very much.
CEO?
Thank you very much, Honorable Weber, for the question. I'll request Ms. Carmel Mbizo to come through. Of course, we also play our part in the space of managing and dealing with the pathways and also responding to the challenge of alien invasives as one of the key drivers of biodiversity loss alongside climate change, pollution, land degradation, and many other factors. In that space, however, you see in the AP, there's a specific area that focuses mainly on risk assessments, which comes in as a form of scientific input in dealing with this particular matter, where we pick up on specific areas of concern and work with partners, like partners that you're referring to and others, in coming up with the appropriate responses that will then be tested and also be documented appropriately to guide responses across sectors. Some of those responses, of course, would require biological interventions, others mechanical interventions, others chemical interventions, all of which comes in informed also in prioritization by the risk assessment findings that will indicate the extent of threat and the trends associated with that threat. In the specific question that you asked, I'm not so sure whether Carmel, you would to do that, if you can give a perspective on it specifically. Carmel?
Thank you, CEO. Through you, Honorable Chair. The Center for Invasion Biology is a key partner for Sanbi. We work very, very closely with them. A key part of Sanbi's mandate is to produce the status report on biological invasions. And they provide key scientific input into that status report. Also in terms of interventions, the status report does cover what the challenges are and what have been the response strategies. And the issue of biocontrol is actually also covered in the status report. And we are very happy to have reached the stage where we will be formally releasing the status report in the next few months. Thank you.
You're good, CEO?
I am, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and also taking note of the specific reference to the specific site in question, so that we can then follow up on that. The actual operations on the ground, of course, are driven by variety of parties, but if the interest would be to locate ourselves in the full value chain appropriately, at some point we will be more than willing to go into the details on that in a form of a presentation if it's required, so that we can also be specific on the specific matter that was raised by the honorable member.
All right, Honorable Winkler, and then follow up by Honorable Weber.
Thank you, Chair. I know in our last presentation from SANB, there was a letter from National Treasury that stated that the irregular expenditure framework of instructions note 2 of 2019 to 2020 did not make provision for an appeal process, and that this was being dealt with by the executive management in October 2023. Has there been any update with regard to that? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Weber.
Thank you very much for that feedback. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the status report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think it was Honorable Winkler on the matter that we raised in the previous meeting. Of course, we followed the advice that the accounting authority should then attend to us and National Treasury to on our way to clear those areas that were regarded as irregular expenditure. And we have gone through the necessary committee to that effect. And the board will be meeting, I think, in this month. And that matter is being attended to in line with what National Treasury indicated. And I hope after that, in the next quarter, we'll be able to report appropriately on the clearance of that issue, which is the recommendation that we had put through to National System New System Authority to look at the matter. So we are working on it, and we'll be able to report further in the next iteration of us and in the portfolio committee if it's required as such.
Legacy and Honorable Winkler.
Yes, Legacy, thank you.
Any other follow-ups, Honorable Members? None. Minister, your parting shot.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think that we hear the concerns that the committee is raising with regard to the weather service, and we will work with the weather service to ensure that we in future in this committee receive clear progress and clear timelines for the work that is being done. I think that honorable members have made it very clear that then they are less interested in process and more interested in outcomes. And I'm sure the Weather Service has heard this loud and clear, and in future presentations, they should be moving in that clear direction. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and we continue to look forward to reporting to you on all matters in our portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister Chrissy. Thank you very much to all the chairpersons of the Board of Entities. Thank you. Deputy Minister, please say hi. Just say hi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good day or good morning to all members. I think the minister has said it all on behalf of us at the ministry. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Wonderful. Thank you very much to all the chairpersons. Thank you very much to the CEOs. That brings us to the end of today's session. Thank you very much to SANB and South African Weather Services. Hope to get more improved and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Marcela, do me a that.
Chairperson.
Legaina.
Our tuile chairperson, Ralebo.
Wonderful.
Kirketra video ya hana mo chairperson.
Yeah, no, technology hasn't us how.
Chairperson, there's somebody behind you.
Somebody behind me?
There yes. I'm telling you.
No, there's no one. Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Colleagues, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chair.
Hey, shut up, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chair.